Today we have Mercedes Hitchcock with us. She is Glenn's wife. They've been married 47 years. They have a daughter, that Lauren, who's 23 and a graduate student. She is, what else?
She's Mercedes.
my experience with her was as a young married woman, and
No kids.
We'd been married 9 months, and now we've celebrated 25. So years, not months. It was just my first experience with a true Proverbs 31 woman. Her house was, it was just a home, and she was welcoming to all of those in the church and as newcomers and new military people in a new place. And I just remember, I'm going to tell a story, okay? and you won't remember it. Of all the things, I thought that hosting meant that you had to have an elaborate spread and your house had to be immaculate. And one of the first lessons that I learned from Mercedes was that just having people in your home and fellowshipping is the important part. And it doesn't matter what you have. Now, I'm from Texas, and this was Virginia, and it was my first time away from home. She introduced me to the gourmet food of a fried hot dog. You won't remember it at all. It's been 25 years. But I thought a simple meal, but we were gathered around a table and we were gathered around as family in Christ. And those were those first lessons to learn and stick with me. So we welcome Mercedes. We're glad that she's here with us to speak to us. And we'll start our day with a prayer. If you'll pray with me, please. Father God, we thank you for blessing us so richly. We thank you for your word and our opportunity to be in it today. Thank you for your creation, that it speaks to us of your existence and your power and your Godhead. Help us, Father, to appreciate those things that you give to us and to share your love and your word with others. Thank you for your family that you created for us, not just our physical family, but especially our spiritual family. Help us, Father, to lift one another up and encourage each other so that we can all be together in that home that you've prepared for us in eternity. Father, bless those that are not with us and those that are sick and those that are grieving. Father, help us to do what we can to be your hands and your feet here. Forgive us when we fail you, and help us, Lord, to do your will in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. There's got to be a comeback on that hot dog. Wait a minute. You say because you're from Texas, you've never heard of a fried hot dog?
No, ma'am.
Raise your hand if you've never had a fried hot dog. Wow. Well, actually, a fried hot dog is not a Virginia thing. It's a Georgia thing, because I actually grew up in Georgia. And after I got married, I moved to Virginia. So, you know. Well, yeah, just put a little Spam or whatever on there. And you just fry, rather than boil them or, you know, on the grill or whatever, you just fry them. You know, yeah, but it's really funny. I'm gonna tell this story on you, Stephanie. When Stephanie came through, we had an outing at somebody's house, and this cake is sitting there, and everybody's looking at it, and so we said, "Oh, it's somebody new," because we never. And what it was an almond joy cake. Yeah, it was delicious. And guess what? She brought us an almond joy cake. You know, it says being here. And nobody said anything, because she knew it was like, we never had, and I haven't had one since she left Virginia, 25 years ago? But I still remember that almond joy cake, you know? And so there she was. So if you haven't had almond joy cake, you're here with her. She will tell you what that almond joy cake is all about. It's delicious. Okay. Oh, ladies, it's been a long year, hasn't it? You know, with this coronavirus. And I guess it's not over yet. But praise the Lord, I have had both shots. And so what is, they said, you've got, but you still got to wear that mask, you know, and all of that stuff. So even if you had that vaccine, you still got to wear this mask. And I heard a bunch of you ladies saying that you all had your vaccines and all that. And I know you feel great. You can be with your grandkids and everything, but we still wish that it was over, yeah. You know, and that we can all kind of go back to what, well, some want to go back to where they were, and others have learned lessons during this period of time. And the lessons that they have learned. So a lot of the things that I'm going to talk about today is what women, because you know something during this pandemic, if the women hadn't been around, this would have been one sad place. Because women be very innovative, and they just kind of step in. They know what to do. You know, whether it has to do with your children, your husband, or the house or whatever, maybe not your husband's job, but you know, but women just, we are needed. And I know with my mother, in our family, when mom and dad were first married, who was the one that first became a Christian? Mom. Mom taught dad. She taught her mother. She taught her father. She taught her brothers and sisters. And guess what? When we have family reunions, we don't have to worry about, you know, when we get to that religious part of those family reunions, you know, what we're going to, you know, how, you know, is somebody going to say something, or somebody going to want to play, you know, their musical instruments during the worship period or whatever. We don't have to worry about that, because the Church of Christ was introduced through one woman in our family. So now when we have family reunions, you know, it's nice to have, I'm talking about 125, 150 people, you know, so it's great. And I know there are others out here that have large families that are, you know, that are members of churches. So there's just certain things you don't have to worry about. But I always say it started with my mom, and she, you know, of course she was a great woman, you know, and others felt the same way. But those without Christ during this time, it's been very difficult for a lot of people, you know, without Christ, and sometimes, you know, even as Christians, we get our priorities wrong sometimes. And because we all know that we're not perfect women, but we do what we are supposed to do in order to please the Lord. But sometimes we goof up anyway. So when we goof up, of course, there's always, you know, a way of repentance and so forth. But then you have those who might goof up, and they says, well, you know, don't judge me. You know, they're using that scripture, Matthew 7:1, you know, judge not that you be not judged. And so I'm going to go from that to, I have a daughter. She came along late in life, and we adopted her when she was 4 weeks old. And right now she's 25. And she's living at home. She's working on a master's degree, and she will graduate in August, and then she will start her journey. After that, she's already know what she's going to be doing. She already has a job when she graduates. So it's like, I mean, what? How good can that be? You know, your kid's graduating, and they already have a job, and so they will. She'll be going into the school system. And she's already been introduced. So she's actually doing her student teaching right now. But she's been doing her student teaching from our dining room table. So how many have had to adjust their homes to accommodate kids, whether you have little small ones or grandkids? I know my sister, she's teaching her granddaughter at home because she can't go to school. And they just opened up the schools in Georgia. And but it's so late in the year, they decided we'll just wait till next year. So they're gonna go ahead and finish out. And I myself, I've been unemployed since March. I remember the day, March 14th, 2020. It was the last day that I had worked. And so actually, Monday would have been 1 week that we would have been, the schools have opened, and so the kids can go back to school. And yesterday my daughter called me and she says, Mom, eighth grader has tested positive. We don't know what we're gonna do. So anyway, that's kind of the way, but women, you know, we know how to handle those things, you know, because I had already, when the schools opened up, I went and cleared off that table and I put everything back where I was supposed to, but it's been that way for months, school material, you know. She goes to school and she has to do her student teaching. So it's like, okay, adapt all of these things. But, and then others have had, where their children have had to come home and live with them again. Now that's nice, isn't it? A grown person to come back home and you have to accommodate them, or they are trying to accommodate you because they say, well, this is actually my home too. I just left for, you know, 5 years, but now I'm back, you know, and it's like, no, this is not your home. Your home is there. When the pandemic is over with, you're going to be gone, you know. So, but my daughter, she's when it first happened, she says, well, Mom, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I'm like, Lauren, I've never been through a pandemic before, you know. I've never, and I know there's some people that are still alive who went through the yellow fever. And so with all of this pandemic, it has been a lot of challenge. It has challenged the families, especially women, when they thought that they were through, that they wouldn't have to return back to children and homes and no jobs. You thought that your children were settled. They had their jobs. They had their own money, and things have changed. And I know for some people, nothing has changed because it did not affect them at all. They didn't lose job. You know, praise the Lord for that. There are people that are out there, you know, where their hours was not cut or anything. But I try to, in teaching her, because even though she's 23, she's grown. she's still coming out of that. I still feel she's coming out of that adolescent part, you know, where she still depends on her mom and dad, you know, and anything. And of course, if your child had a problem, it's like, I don't mind. It's mom, you know? And it's, I guess that's kind of good or whatever, but we have to be there for them. We've always been there for them. And we have to continue to be there for them, whether they're grown now with their own kids and so forth. It's a trying time. We talked about the, just my grandfather. I grew up on a large farm in Georgia, and my grandfather went through the Depression, and he used to tell us about the Depression all the time. And so some of this stuff, you know, I kind of liken to, you know, doing the Depression era. And but during this time, either you would shine or you fall to the bottom of the barrel. Some of us have fallen to the bottom of the barrel. And what I mean by that, and I'm sure that you know, I know that you know some of these people. When the pandemic started, they went into their homes, they closed their doors, and they won't come out. We have people in Virginia, they won't come out, literally. They are so afraid. The way that I look at it is that if you're a Christian, are you afraid to go to heaven? Or are you afraid that you haven't lived your life? That if the Lord took you now, that I won't go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Therefore, I'm not going to come out of my house. It's either people deliver food or whatever, maybe family might, or one lady, she says, I just go to the grocery store in the middle of the night. Grocery stores have been open like 24 hours to accommodate people, you know, who don't go to the grocery store in the middle of the night. And they'll do that, and they say, I come right home. And they're literally members of our congregation It's been over a year since we've seen them. It's been over a year. And I tried my best to call them and to talk with them. Some have Zoom. Some do not have Zoom. Others have their, you know, phones and so forth. Now, you might say that that's been very judgmental of some of the people because they are so afraid, you know. What could be worse than hell if you don't, I mean, if your life is not where it is supposed to be during this time as a Christian woman, you know, where would you like to be? So if you're at your home, if you are kind of moseying around, you know, I'm careful when I mosey around, but I do get out, but I know that I have to do the Lord's work. Women are the most innovative people that I have ever seen. And of course, later on in this lesson, I'm going to tell you about some things that I have done, women in the area have done, women in our congregation have done. And at the end, I want to hear some of the things that has happened and that you have done in your family. So a lot of people at this time, you know, when you talk to them, you know, they'll say, well, you know, like I said, they'll say, don't judge me. But in order to provoke the people on to good works, to do what they need to do, because it's not me. So my husband always said, in order to determine if something is right or if something is good or bad, you're going to have to inspect. You go within yourself. You inspect yourself and to see what's going on in your life. Why am I so afraid? Why am I not doing what I can do from home? Yeah. So if you're gonna stay at home, you can Zoom, you can listen to your TV, you can listen to your, somebody was criticized the other day for saying the word radio. It's like they're trying to clear this. I think radios are still, a lot of people still have radios in their home, you know? But basically, you know, you have your videos and your cell phones, everything comes, but there are people that still have radios going on. So when we confront people, the average, once we're out, what the elders are so afraid of is that once the pandemic is over with, but there would be so many people that were laid back, that did not come out of their home, that they have become comfortable with what's going on. That's why I said we, as women, we need to provoke one another onto good works. Continue. It's within our realms to do this. I mean, men are smart, of course, too. You know, our sons and our husbands and brothers, they're all smart. But there are certain things that women can do. And only they can do it simply because they are a woman. They're a Christian woman. So first, there was a scripture that I had, John 7:24. And that's talking about judging. Somebody's got it out there. John 7:24. Okay, no one's got it. So do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Women know how to be gentle. Like I said, people might say, well, you can't judge me. There is a judgment that the Bible talks about, and it's in John 7:24. A righteous judgment. It's talking about a judgment according to scripture, not our opinions or what's popular for that time, you know, during that time. It's talking about we judge according to scripture, you know, or not that, you know, all the yays and all the nays, you know, that's not how we judge. we judge according to scripture. We know.
What scripture was that one?
Then? John 7:24. Did I get it wrong?
The other one.
I'm sorry?
He quoted a second one about judging with the righteous judgment.
Okay.
Yeah,
But anyway, at the very start of the pandemic, I thought that, oh, this is great. This is great. Not that the pandemic was great, but they were saying shelter in place. That's the part I thought that was great, that I could finally, because sometimes as women, we're going and going and going and going and going and going, and it's nonstop, you know. That was my life. And working, church work, family work, and on and on. And I told someone recently, I said, my average, I'd normally go to bed between like 1-2 o'clock in the morning, you know. And during the pandemic, I started even going to bed even later than that. So, but because I was doing things, I found myself even busier being sheltered in place. And people would say, well, what are you doing? You know? let's read. There is a scripture. Let's read this scripture first. And I'll tell you what I was doing. Matthew 24:42-44.
So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected.
Okay, 1 Peter 4:7.
The end of all things is near, therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer.
For those that are on Zoom, it was 1 Peter 4:7. And the next scripture is Revelation 22:12.
Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he's done.
Okay, that was Revelation 22:12. The next scripture is 1 John 2:28. 1 John 2:28.
And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming.
Okay, now here's the long scripture, Matthew 25:1-13.
It's the parable of the 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour."
So as you can see, even though we may be going, my husband likes to use the word, we are pilgrims. Pilgrims don't stop in one spot and stay and say, well, okay, this is a nice place. This is gonna be kind of like my husband and I. We moved from Virginia to Georgia. We built a home there. We'd never built a home before. And we told everybody we were building a retirement home. And so we built it, we loved it, it was wonderful. And then one day, 14 years later, my husband says, "What are we doing?" So he uprooted the family and we're back in Virginia. There was lots of work to be done. If you've ever been in that area, the church is not real big. Here you can find a congregation within probably 10 to 15 minutes of every home. There you can actually drive an hour. Now, right there in where we are, there's probably seven congregations, because let me tell you why. It's the military. The military is that we have five bases there, and Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, we have all these bases there. And so it's like when I came here, it's like in this room here, there's at least three people that I've known in the past. And people have come during the gospel meeting and said, I remember you, and it was the military. That's how I met my husband, a military. And so so the congregations only within that immediate area there, but even then the congregations, we would call a large congregation, 200 people. We don't have such thing as 500,000, 600,000, 800,000, 3,000 people. There's no such thing, But once you get out of that area, you can sometimes go 100, 150 miles before you to the next congregation. And so we credit the military why there we have as many congregations as we do right there in that immediate area. So back to this parable, the virgins. Some were ready, some were not ready. But when the bridegroom came, we don't know. They didn't know. But because they did not prepare, they were not ready when the Lord came. We don't know if the Lord's going to come during this period of time. We don't know. We have no idea, But we do know it's not going to be the pandemic that's going to actually be the end of the world. We know that this world is going to be destroyed by fire. So we know that it's not going to be that. But those things are surely, we know that through the scriptures, But while are we to rest during this time? Are we to just shelter in place and never get out? Never pick up the telephone to call someone or to do whatever? I called one lady and she said, oh, it's so boring. And I said, boring? I've never been so busy in my entire life, during this pandemic. I mean, I thought it was going to be great. I could spend more time with my husband. I could spend more time with my daughter, because this year, she's going to have her own job, her own place. Her own money. Right, Lauren? I'm looking forward to that, And she's gone, Like I said, she's been a blessed child, because it's like I know kids that have been out of school, even with master's degrees, and some of them 2 or 3 years and they still hadn't found it. They're still working at Burger King because they haven't been able to find a job, And right now, teachers is, that's the thing now with teachers and what has happened with the teachers. Some have retired because they're not going back into the school system the way that it is right now. So there's a big rush. So it's like, okay, you do this and you've got a job, So they've already guaranteed her a job for 3 years. So, and that's not the norm, because a lot of, I could not be a full-time teacher myself, I love kids, but to be in a classroom day after day, I couldn't do it. And but anyway, I have another scripture, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. I'm not quite sure. It's one of those. Okay. All right. Matthew 25, 14 through 30.
And this is the parable of the talents. Mm-hmm. For it would be like a man going on a journey. He called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug into the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter in into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Okay. So during the pandemic, the man with the 1 talent did nothing. He did nothing during the pandemic. The talent that the Lord had given him, what did he do? Well, Lord, I didn't want to lose it. You know, it's hard times, you know, and I just thought I would hang on to it, you know, so that I would have it, Lord, when you came, that I would have it. So, Lord, I did nothing during the pandemic. And Lord, I couldn't travel. I couldn't pay the bill on the telephone, so I couldn't call anyone. You know, I lost my phone. And therefore, I'm sorry, Lord, but at least I can return it to you. I didn't lose it and I didn't spend it, you know, unwisely. Lord, here it is. I'm giving it back to you. What you gave me. How does that sound to you guys? Okay. So if this man had lived during the pandemic, Lord, here it is. I didn't lose it. I didn't squander it. I'm giving it back to you. The Lord was not pleased with him, in other words. He was not pleased with him at all, you know. So when the pandemic for me first started, I had bought a brand new sewing machine, brand new. Hadn't had time to really try it out. So my daughter working, when it actually started, my daughter was working at a homeless shelter. That was part of her practicum. You know, a practicum, you know, when the kids are in school, they have to go and they have to work in places her placement, before we even knew the word, you know, pandemic, some people had never heard of the word pandemic, she had been placed in a homeless shelter. So if you know nothing else about a homeless shelter, you know, the people there, they don't have a home and it's a bunch of people and you know, and on and on. So we thought to ourselves, she's got to stop school. I'm sorry, my daughter's not going to work in a homeless shelter, you know, during a pandemic. We don't know where these people came from. We don't know anything about them, you know. They may bring diseases in there, you know. She's the only child that we have. We're not going to let her die in a homeless shelter. During a pandemic. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. But we prayed. We prayed long and hard. You know, the homeless people, they need care just like everybody else. They get viruses, they carry diseases just like we do. So are we just gonna take care of ourselves and say forget the others? So we said, okay. So I says, well, this is where mom comes in, what can mom do? What can she do to make her child safe? So I pulled out this brand new sewing machine, you know, with the instructions and all of that. And so I got to work and I said, so I'm going to make you, I said, I'm going to make you some masks so that you can, so you wear your mask, you know, 24/7 while you're there. And so I pulled out that sewing machine. I made her a mask for every day of the week. The first day that she went into the shelter, the director said, where'd you get that mask? And she said, my mom made it. She says, tell her we need her to make some masks for the shelter, for everyone in the shelter and for the and for all of the staff. So right now, so ask her if she can make 50 masks. Yeah. And she came home that day and she told me what the director of the center had asked, that if I would, that they would pay for the materials, they would pay, you know, for everything, if I would make the mask for everyone. So I big swallow, and my husband looked at me and he goes, you can't do that, can you? You can't, you. And I went, I've never done it before, but I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try as hard as I can. So I pulled out that machine, and I had already been looking at patterns and so forth. So I thought I'll get all my material. The stores didn't have any, did not. They didn't have any of the elastic. They didn't have any of the little metal pieces. People sucked it up just like that. Because if you remember, in the very beginning, they were saying, don't go to the store and try and buy these masks, leave them for the healthcare workers, the frontline people, you know. So this is don't. And so so I had moved, my last move from Georgia to Virginia, I had boxes of fabric. So I pulled out fabric and I had shoestrings that were the elastic kind. So I cut up all of these shoestrings to make the elastic. And then when I ran out of that, I made strings. I had to cut up fabric, make the strings to tie. And it was, so early on, it was really hard making the mask. So I got the first 50 done. And then I said, but there are members of the church that don't have masks. By that time we were doing Zoom. So the preacher decided, well, he put a little thing out to the congregation. Mercedes is making masks. If any members of the church need a mask, well, you know what happened there. So there I had members of the church. And then I said to myself, so by the way, back to the homeless shelter. And I said, this is going to be a thing for the gospel. So I called the preacher and I said, I need tracts. I need cards. I need, I put a total of 4 items in each package. So as we passed out the mass, they knew where the church was. They knew the website of the church. They had a pamphlet, How to Be Saved. I'm not sure if that was the name of it. I forgot what the name of the tract, but we ran out and then we had to get another tract. And when we ran out of those, we had to get another tract. So we were putting the gospel message into a package with the mask for every homeless person, for the directors of the center, anybody that came there. Then the same thing for the church. I didn't have to put all of that in there for those that were members of the church. And then I said to myself, I wanted to talk to my neighbors. So then I went door to door, knocking on the door. When they opened the door, I stepped back with my mask on my face. And I said, do you all need masks? I noticed you got 2 children, got 3 children, whatever, you know. So I provided masks to my neighbors, gospel. I was able to put brochures and then people would say, and then I had neighbors even come and say, do you have any more masks? My grandchild is at my house and grandchildren and they need masks. So that was my job. And I stayed up probably 3 o'clock every morning, trying to make enough. I never charged a person. I'd never charged a homeless shelter because I used what I had. I bought nothing. I just used what I had and you know, the straps and all of that. I just used what I had and I donated them. And I thought that was more important than someone saying, well, we can't afford, you know, this or whatever. But I never could put a time limit on how long it actually took me, because it was kind of like an assembly line, you know, but cut one day and make straps another day and on and on. So I did that. So when that began to slow down, then there were members of the congregation. Two people in particular that I want to tell you about. One had cancer. It was two elderly men. And one of the men, his wife had died, leaving him with two children, but the children were now grown. And so he now had cancer. Don't ask me what the deal was with his children. One was a gamer. He sat in front of the TV and played those games all day. The other one, I have no idea what they did, but they were not taking care of their father. So for him, we fed him. We went by the house each day, dropping off a plate of food. Whatever I fixed for my family, Lauren, take this over to Mr. Joe. Bland, take this over to Mr. Joe. And we literally fed him until he died. And so he died during the pandemic. The other elderly man, he is a dialysis patient. And I don't know where his family was. I have no idea. All I know is that he was not in contact with anyone in his family, his children or his wife. We don't know. Sometimes we don't know. He didn't say, whatever. But he was a dialysis patient. I don't know, raise your hand if you know anything about dialysis. Okay, so a dialysis patient, before he retired, he was a dialysis social worker working for DaVita. I don't know if you might see DaVita signs. I don't know if they even have DaVitas in Texas, okay. So anyway, so my family, we know a lot about dialysis, and my mother was at the end of her life, she was a dialysis patient. They have to go three times a week. Sometimes it's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and the holidays and all of that. But he had no one to take him to dialysis. He had no one to, when you come from dialysis, you're very tired, you're very weak. Because if a machine took your blood out, ran it through a machine and put it back in your body, you could only imagine how your body is going to feel once this is over with. So we fed him. So take this one to Mr. Joe and take this one to Mr. Jones. And that's how between feeding those that were in the congregation, those that actually need it, you know, we fed them, you know, and it was in transportation. Both of them needed transportation. In other words, my family during that time, you know, we were able to get closer to people. We had Bible studies. Bible studies did not quit. You wore your mask. You do your social distancing. We had, at the congregation, we had baptisms, and we still are having baptisms during the pandemic, you know? let me stop here, stop gabbing for a little bit. There's another scripture out there, Matthew 25:31-46.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed from my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did you sit, when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer, and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then you will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer to them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And those will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
Basically, what I see out of that story, we have to take advantage of every opportunity that we have. You may not be able to go out and physically carry people what they need during a time such as this. You know, I believe the pandemic, it will be over with. It will be. But are we waiting for the pandemic to be over with before we break out of the shell and try to do something to help someone else? There are people out there who actually need your help. And like I said, women, I think, are the best people. Once again, I'm certainly not downing men at all. But women, why do you think the Lord gave us the babies? You know, we're the best ones to handle the babies. You know, my husband couldn't handle a baby. You know, he can't handle a dog. So, and but that's why the Lord know what we are capable of. You know, they talk about the women, you know, they, you know, picking cotton to go home and have a baby and go and return back to the field. You know, we are, you know, we hold the families together. So when we see these things and we know that they need to be done, there's a one lady, one of the last examples that I want to tell you about. Now I'm gonna tell you her story, and then I'm gonna tell you what she said in the end. Okay, she has 6 children. She has 1 in arm, and she has 2 toddlers. The 1 in arms, so the other one, let me see, she had just had that one, and she says, I'm pregnant. We said, okay, you know. So this one, so the next one up would probably, he would be a year. And then she had the baby in arms. But before that, the next one up would have been, I think it was a 3-year gap in there, 3-year gap. So so a 4-year-old, a 1-year-old, and then the baby in arms. And then she has three others in there. And so with the baby in arms, she breaks a foot. And so, okay, needing help? Nah, don't need any. Don't need any help. I can handle this just fine. So then the other one, the doctor says he needs to have surgery. So keep him away from other kids, keep him away from, because we need to make sure that he doesn't get the coronavirus before surgery. So he goes to be tested 2-3 days before surgery. Okay, he's got coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's like, all right, needing help, Nope. I got it all. Okay. And I said to myself, there is no way. There is no way. You know. So what I decided to do, whether she wants to, I know what she's trying to do. I want to be a super mom too. I want to be one, you know. But I stopped at one because I knew what my capabilities were. But I said, okay, she really could use some help. Broken foot, toddler, baby in arms. It was number two that needed the surgery. And it says, well, how did it get? We don't know sometimes. We just don't know. You do everything that you can. Oh, and she was homeschooling too. Homeschooling all of the kids. So, and I love women who can do these things, but sometimes they won't ask for help. So what I started doing, as the mass part slowed down, I began to cook. So I cooked bread. My daughter didn't know that I can make homemade bread. Well, over the years, you know, working, you know, and her being in school and all, and I, you know, I was working, her being in school, I didn't, and she didn't remember what happened when she was 4 years old, because I was at home with her, and I put her in school when she was to enter the first grade. It was when she didn't do kindergarten, pre-K and all that stuff, you know, and I probably would have put her in school then, except for my husband says, well, she's going to be an only child, so she needs to be put in school with all the other kids. So we found a nice little private school, put her in it, you know, and so I went to work and to pay for that school. So anyway, so she didn't know that I could do a lot of things. And so I started baking, whether it was cake, yeast rolls, loaves of bread, whatever, you know. So make one for the family, make one for this family. So I was giving all of this, because you can't make one loaf of bread, you know, the recipe calls for two loaves of bread, you know. So I would give them, you know, give the other loaf away, you know. The kids, every time they saw me coming, you know, you can see them jumping for joy, you know. We got homemade bread, we got cookies, we got a pot of chili, we've got a pot of spaghetti, whatever. Sometimes women, you know, your mothers, it's like, I could not see this woman. She was going to wear herself out. And her husband, well, she had a husband, but he worked 12-hour shifts. And I just knew that she could use it. She could use to help, you know, during a time like this. Do you want me to go to the grocery store and get your groceries? And she would say, no, I'll get it. Okay, I'll just take the baby and I'll just hop in the grocery store. You know, I could not see it. So it's things like that we see. Sometimes when you know people, you sit back and you wait for them to ask for help. But some people never will ask for help. That's just the way that they are. So sometimes you have to do little things to help them out. Women know what you're supposed to do and how to get through that. So what I want to know before the time is gone,
keep on.
I want to know some of the things. Now, I can only talk about Mercedes Hitchcock. I don't know what other women did in the congregation. Yeah. I never let anybody in the congregation, me doing what I should do, depend on what they were doing. Yeah. So I focused on me, that I'm going to continue to be active. I'm going to teach the gospel wherever I can, you know, help people as much as I can. I wanted to do that because I'm responsible for me and my family. So once again, I'm not saying no one else did anything. And I could only tell you what I did. So what you heard was basically what I did. So, but I would love to hear some of the things that happened in your community and what you all did. Not everybody at once. And I know that you all were, and I know that you ladies did not go home and close those doors because you're here today. You didn't go home and you didn't close those doors and stay. Okay, who's gonna be first? Okay, here's one back here.
Phone calls to people who aren't getting out. I mean, none of us can get out, but just to let them know we're thinking about you, even though we can't be together. You know, just give them a call. I'm thinking about you. And there was something, and I don't even know the website, but they had these templates that you could make for cards. Uh-huh. And they were little cartoon animals or whatever, and it was like misty bunches. And so you could download them, and that's for all the families of kids. Because they were like, they looked like they were kid-related. And so to send it to this family from our family, we're thinking about you, we miss you, because we don't get to see each other. And little things like that.
Oh. See, I'm not really good. I don't. You see this MacBook up here? You know, it's like it's just a computer to me. You know, and people would, and they'll say, "Oh, it's a MacBook." And I'm like, "Okay." You know, and I said, "Well," I said I needed to do some. My husband's like this. If you need a computer, he's not gonna get you a little something like he goes. He says, "This is the best." Okay, so I got the best, okay? You know, but I'm learning to work this thing, you know. But anyway, who else?
Okay.
Yes.
About 10 years ago, my husband went home to Jesus. But for 10 years before that, he was descending into Alzheimer's, into not knowing me or even who he was. And there are three women in our congregation who are dealing with the same thing. And I've tried to talk to some of them when they've asked me some of the things I did. So, in some of the ways, and there's one lady who's struggling, and we're trying to get food to her a couple of times a week to kind of relieve some of her tensions. I think this is one great thing our church does. When someone is in need, we're out there taking food, praying for them, taking them to doctor appointments or whatever where they need. We are kind of a small ladies group, but we are mighty. So we share our love and our information with each other to try to help. So I wish when I was dealing with my husband, I had someone to talk to. So when people want to talk to me, I really try to give them some clues of what to expect and what they can do.
See, what you have been through, that's a talent that you have. To talk to other widows, I wouldn't have a clue. I would not have. What do you say to even my mom when she was a widow? You know, we took care of her. We would not allow her to go into a nursing home. You know, so it's like, but we never said, "Mom, you know, like, are you missing Dad? You know, are you, you know, what can we do?" We just did it. You know, we didn't ask questions. You know, so I'm not. You know.
Well, there's a difference in just losing your mate and missing them than if they leave you mentally before they leave you physically. Sally is going through this right now, and a couple of others in. And it really is a struggle because there are times when you want to get angry, but you can't get angry with them because they don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it is really tough. You really do struggle with how to deal with it. So if I can help anybody else kind of get a plan, like my husband always said, take me home. And I found if I just put him in the car, go around the block and said, okay, here we are, he was satisfied. Uh-huh. But I had to kind of learn these things.
Oh, well, that is great. Okay. I saw another hand somewhere. Okay.
On Facebook, I put out scriptures.
I don't do Facebook. That's another thing I can't do. So good. Somebody's doing Facebook.
Yeah. I put out scriptures and my thoughts on it and stuff like that. Try to encourage people and let them know how wonderful it is to be in really good, loving relationship with God and God with us. And it's just the best. That's kind of like you can have in this world.
Yes. You know, without Christians during this time, this could have been the most loneliest time. But so far, everybody has said something different. And it's like, you do Facebook. I don't do Facebook at all. And my husband's, you know, he'll say, look at this picture. He says, but don't touch anything. You know? Okay. Because I don't, and you have where you can work with other women, you know, who've been through the same thing. And as you know, most people, if you haven't been through it, you don't know how to deal with it. I would not, that would be something that I would not. So before we draw it to a conclusion, I know that somebody else out there. Anybody? Okay.
But in addition to just that part there, I'm also part of a Church of Christ ladies group on the computer. And so the variety of people from all over the world here is asking questions, giving advice and stuff like that. So I also get to chime in and let them know, you know, and it's also for praying for them and stuff like that. People putting out things going on in their life with any prayers and guidance spiritually and stuff. And it's just wonderful to be able to be a part of that.
The women in our area, we started a Zoom ladies Bible class it was the entire area. So it's not just our congregation. And they asked women from all of the congregations to speak. It's every Thursday night. That's something we did not have. The men started a Zoom I forget the name of the program, but it's something that, so when they first started, it was every night of the week because we didn't know how long this pandemic was going to last. So they started, it was every night of the week. There was a minister across the country that would speak. And Jonathan, I can't remember Jonathan's last name, but he's down in Florida. And then we have Eric Owens, who is in Atlanta. And so they started a program and they asked these gospel preachers and even student preachers that were, say, Bear Valley School of Preaching, the Memphis School of Preaching, men that needed training. So every single night we tuned in to Zoom. Now they have, now that people are kind of getting used to what's going on, they have scaled it back some, so it's not every night now, but so we would watch gospel preaching every single night on a Zoom, the computer or your TV, YouTube, yeah. And there are other programs across the country. So it was listening to, and then you could have everything from the old time gospel preachers to the newfangled gospel preachers, as long as they were teaching the word, you know, and not anything else, but, you know, but the word of God. So, so before we close out, is there anyone else? Okay, that's it then. And I am so happy that each of you came today. It's been wonderful. And so I hope that I've said something that you all can take back to your congregations, or something that you can start, or I'll give you an idea of ways that you can reach out to others, especially those that are not members of the body. And by the time the pandemic is over, they'll be faithful Christians. They've been, you know, baptized. You know, people are still being baptized, even though during this time, you know, it can still be done.
Okay. Let me just say one thing too. We have what we call a thread online text that we keep up with each other. It's about 15 or 16 of us. Mm-hmm. And we are in touch all day, every day on that. Mm-hmm. Anytime anything is happening and one needs prayer, it's really a great, I mean, it's so easy to do mm-hmm. on a text.
Oh.
That we can just keep in touch with no matter when some of it, like one of our ladies goes to Colorado and stuff every mm-hmm. so often. I mean, we can just keep up with each other, and it's really one great way to keep in touch, I think.
And I think a lot of people, because I have a brother, he's 70 years old, and he did not text, talking about Zoom, you know.
Right.
And so during the pandemic, he learned to text. And he just kept saying, I want to see my grandkids. I want to see my grandkids. He had one grandchild born during the pandemic. So they says, Dad, you got to learn to use these things. So they his son would go over to his house and set him up for that. We're going to Zoom. The family's going to Zoom tonight. and we're going to all be on. And so he now Zooms. They've done all the grandkids' birthdays on Zoom. And he's loving it because he just kept saying, I want to see the grandkids. I want to see the grandkids. It'd been a year and he had never seen the new one, you know? And so we can, that's another thing we can do. We can teach others, you know, technology. And if you don't know how to do it, grab a kid off the street. And they know how to use those phones and those computers, you know? And they're the ones who are most likely not to catch the virus, these kids. And I'm not talking you have to grab a high schooler. You could grab an elementary schooler. They can do it, you know? They can absolutely show you how to do it. So if you might bow and we in our class at a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had together today and to speak and talk and share your word to others. Different things that we have done and to glorify thee. Father, we appreciate it so very, very much that you've taken care of us and to help us during this time. Continue, Father, to bless us, bless each family, bless the congregation here, all of its members, and all of those that they're trying to reach out to. Father, bless those out on Zoom who are actually listening in this morning. Help them, Father, to have received something from this lesson that they might be able to share with others or do themselves. We thank thee, Father, once again, for all the many blessings. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. Amen.